Good morning. Before we even start, I get to do one of my favorite things, and that's to say thank you. And not just for the fundraising that you're doing for the Balaka Project, but for the awareness raising that you're doing every day about the structural injustice that keeps people poor. For your willingness to change the way that you live and consume and travel so that our sisters and brothers in countries being devastated by climate change, being robbed of what is rightfully theirs by tax injustice, are being held in solidarity. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for what you're doing. And if I can be cheeky, thank you for what we're going to continue to ask you to do. Christian Aid's vision is of a world free from poverty, a lofty ideal, unattainable, a lot of people would say. But sometimes you need to take a step back and view from a different vista to gain a little bit of perspective, because there are huge challenges. But we've also made huge progress. Since 1950, thanks to the actions of millions of people intent on creating change, child mortality globally has more than halved. The number of children getting primary education across this planet has grown to just under 90%. And life expectancy in developing countries has risen by, on average, 20 years. Fair trade has become a real player. It is driven to a great extent by our demand for it. The same is true of tax justice. Because of collaborative efforts to raise awareness of the injustice of tax evasion, it is now on the table. Tax should not be something that you need to dodge or evade. Tax is the way that we in this planet redistribute wealth and make sure that everyone has enough and we are neighbors. Roll back not too many years, and that was not the case. And we still have an awful lot to do until we get country by country reporting by big corporations. Then we're tinkering around the edges, but we just have to keep pushing. And the drive to live more sustainably, our partners across the planet tell us that climate change is a real and present threat to the whole planet. And those who have least to do with it are the ones who struggle most. And that's an injustice that we just cannot allow to happen. So ideals put into practice can bring change. The first Christians weren't called Christians at all, but the followers of the way. Well, look where we've come by walking a different path. So the planet faces huge challenges: climate change, entrenched economic systems that benefit those who have and take advantage of those who don't, and a pervasive gender imbalance that excludes women and girls from participating fully in education, economic activities, leadership. Women equal half the population. They do two-thirds of the work hours. They possess one-tenth of the wealth and 1% of the property. And those are UN statistics. The UN has stated that the face of poverty is a woman's face. With you, Christian Aid works through sustainable international development projects, through immediate humanitarian aid, and through campaigns and advocacy to address the root causes of poverty and to bring real practical change. Always in partnership. Always in partnership with the communities that we work with, because they know best what needs to be done. Next slide. But I want to begin my reflections this morning by inviting you to a call to mind. So call to mind someone you love. Close your eyes and imagine the shape of her eyes, the curve of his smile, the sound of their laughter, call to mind the way he smells, the way she feels, and the look they give you that says, I've had just about enough. If you can hold that face, that feeling, that love, then consider this. 100 trillion cells, 7 million years of evolution, 40 weeks gestation, years of love and lessons and laughter, tears no doubt too, have gone into that person you brought to mind who holds your heart. What a wonder. And now consider this. Our planet holds over 7 billion souls. And every single one is a unique, one-off, never-to-be-repeated ever creation. The creative imagination of the divine is reflected in every face. The Spirit of God is in every first and last and in-between breath. We are over 7 billion. And behind every number is a name. And for every single one of us, there is a story and a dream and a unique purpose. The God who connects us calls us to remember that our futures are bound up in each other's, that we really are one family, as vast as the ocean and as intimate as a face, a smell, a touch, a look, a feeling. We are called never to underestimate the deep desire with which God created that vision. It is so important, especially in our fractured world today, to remember that no one is an only child. So what if when somebody asked us where we were from, our first thought wasn't Newport-on-Tay or Glasgow, South Carolina or Scotland, but what emerged unbidden was, well, I'm a citizen of the planet Earth. I live in a global neighborhood. What if we were all intentional about standing on that vista, raising our eyes to that much more expansive view? Our story this morning is so familiar that it's tempting to let the words wash right over us. The Good Samaritan, we know what it says. But a friend of mine once compared a good story to a treasure chest in a cave. He said, you need to go in deep, lift the lid, dig down until you find one beautiful thing. And then you bring it out into the light and you say, look at this. And you go back in time and time again, and there's always something else to discover. Well, a few weeks ago, somebody offered me a new thought from this story, and it's why I chose to focus a wee bit on it this morning. Because this one little idea took hold and it's just been swirling around in my mind. And so sometimes when things are swirling around in your mind, the best thing to do is to share it. How many times had I read this story and never thought about it quite like this? The idea came during an intercultural biblical dialogue, big word. But it's an innovative way ChristianAid brings supporters and partners here in the UK together with communities in some of the 40 countries we work in. And during these biblical dialogues, the two groups study the same text, and then they discuss it together over a live video link. They're translators, so the conversations happen in real time. And they don't just meet once. In the pilots we've done, both groups meet several times. They share a bit about where they come from, where they are in the world, their community, what's going on politically, socially. They talk about their families, relationships build. These discussions are rich because the participants see and hear and wrestle with the text from their different perspectives, but then they join together and they learn from each other. And it was during a conversation that one member of the group wondered about the imagery of the road and walking by on the other side. And almost saying, you can see, moving away, staying at a distance, choosing not to see, actively avoiding recognizing yourself and your neighbor. The road was so wide you could decide you just weren't going to see. And so maybe what was needed, and maybe what our purpose is to have a narrower road so we can't help but see each other, recognize the common humanity, see the impact of our actions and our inactions on each other. Inequality creates a gaping hole. It's kind of like that wide road. It makes it impossible for us, or makes it possible for us not to see. Robs you of your empathy, blinds you to structural injustice that keeps other people poor. So that question, who is my neighbor? Well, your neighbor's the one you walk with. Next slide. Well, you've chosen to walk the road with your brothers and sisters in Malawi. And I've come this morning to share news from that project, but I also wanted to set the broader context first. The work you are supporting there is one example of a movement for change, sustainable, transformational development. I said when I was talking with the children that Christian Aid I don't see as a charity, but a movement for justice. We work in 40 countries, always in partnership with local communities who are by far best placed to set the agenda, to identify the assets they have and the issues and needs that keep poverty close. I was in Malawi last spring, and I want to focus on two projects: solar irrigation systems funded by the Scottish Government and the health governance project in Balaka that's match funded by the Scottish Government and church partnerships. And not just to thank you for that money that you are raising, but to let you know what it's making possible. First, some background information about Malawi. As I said earlier, there's a population of 16 million, but that is a very conservative estimate. 45.3% of that population are under 14 years of age. It's a rapidly growing population. Life expectancy now is 55. At the height of the AIDS epidemic, it was 36. 50.7% of the population live below $1 a day. There is chronic hunger. And in the 2016-17 season, over 8 million people were food insecure in Malawi. And that food insecurity is driven by climate change. There is one doctor in Malawi for every 50,000 people. 50,000. 99.7% of energy is hydroelectric in Malawi, and only 10% of the population have access to that electricity source. So there are stark challenges in Malawi, but there is also great potential and incredible communities. Could we see the next slide? And the first project I wanted to talk about briefly, because it's so exciting and the potential for transformation is huge, and that's our solar irrigation project. This is a project that I visited in the Nsanji district. There are three projects across, but this is the one I went to see. What solar irrigation systems are allowing people in Malawi to do are leapfrog our dirty carbon footsteps. Off-grid solar energy, we were able to meet with the Minister for Natural Resources and Mining and Energy while we were out there, and he was absolutely wonderful. And he is firmly convinced that the future of Malawi needs to be off-grid solar energy. The Christian Aid office in Lilongwe is completely off-grid and is 100% reliant on their solar panels. Not only that, but the businesses that they are attached to also have tapped into that grid, and now that is their source of electricity. So the potential is huge. The solar irrigation systems also allow these communities to become much more resilient to the effects of climate change. There was a huge drought, not this summer, but last, in Malawi. 8 million people food insecure. We had a special appeal for Malawi, and the Scottish government match funded it. And because of that appeal, we raised £250,000. And we were able to make sure not only that we fed people then, because it was a devastating drought, but it also meant that people could stay with these projects because they were in their infancy, the crops weren't ready, and so people weren't forced to migrate or sell up to get food, but they were able to stay. When I visited, they were harvesting their second crop. They were diversifying those crops so that they were able then to access the market. And they were also doing some incredibly innovative things, and this was community-driven. Next slide. Not only did they have the solar panels and were able to have 500 people, 96 families, in that one small project accessing that farming technique, but they also developed a water kiosk for the whole community. So people who had been having to walk 3 to 5 kilometers every day to access dirty water were able to access water on site. They paid 40 kwacha a month, and all that money went into the system, so it made it more sustainable. The community were looking into being able to tap into that extra electricity source and power electricity in the community. There were also 4 extra hectares behind their project, and they were looking to expand. So it's sustainable development. And that technology, the more you learn, the easier it becomes, and that can be replicated, not just in Malawi. So it's really exciting. Next slide. The health governance project that you are helping to fund. It's in the Balaka district, and while I was in Malawi, I wanted to let you know we also were able to meet with the Minister for Health, who was convinced that grassroots community work, empowering the people in their own communities to advocate for their rights, would hold the government to account and enable them to realize where the money needed to go. And so the work that we are doing in Balaka and that we had done in Karanga in regards to those community-led projects was absolutely the way to make the biggest impact. I traveled to Balaka District to meet the partners and communities driving that health governance forward project forward. This is one where we had a cash transfer because, again, this was in right after the height of the drought. And so pregnant mothers, especially pregnant mothers and families with small children, were struggling. And in order to protect the project and also to make sure that people could get through the drought, we had direct cash transfers. And so I went to meet the community during those direct cash transfers. It also meant that people had enough to eat and that they could continue with the project and not have to leave. Next slide. So how did they do this? Well, there were 2 key areas in Balaka. The first is with FOCUS, the Foundation for Community Support Services. They work through community groups to educate, inform, and support maternal health initiatives. So far, over 180 women's groups have been trained in gender rights, paternal participation, nutrition, HIV awareness, and advocacy. These women have in turn reached almost 8,000 women who now speak up for community health needs and work with local leaders to deliver much-needed maternal services. We also have groups of young people. 183 young people have now been trained as peer-to-peer educators, again, empowering and informing other young people around issues of gender equality. the need for girls especially to remain in education, HIV awareness, and safe sexual practices. The third group we target are men, so we have a group called MAP, Men as Partners. And this works to encourage men to participate in antenatal care. This has shown a significant increase in men attending clinics with their partners, men being advocates themselves for family planning and for an end to early child marriages. So by educating and empowering and listening to these communities, changes are being made, and that's a ripple effect. Next slide. All of these groups have become better advocates for better health awareness and access. By empowering community members, they themselves realize that they are capable of fighting for their rights to demand health care and services. The swell in local support has had an impact on district decision making. So the number of health personnel has increased in areas of greatest need because the communities are identifying it. There's a complaints system, and that has strengthened through our partners. The community is lobbying the government for more health resources where they're needed. Our partners, MEHN, track the government's policy priorities and then measure them against the real budget allocation and performance. And so you've got the numbers from the government and the reality on the ground, and they're held to account. And this is welcomed. This is welcomed. Again, the government minister we talked to was very excited by the work we were doing. So community members and recipients of health services are encouraged to feed into the work of health service providers, their scorecards, suggestion boxes, and an ombudsman at the clinic who offers ways for individuals to participate. Next slide. There are challenges. There's still too many antenatal deaths or early maternal deaths because moms cannot get to the hospitals in time or the clinics. There's also, because we are almost a victim of our own success, there is still need for more clinics, and we're raising money now with our partners and with the community in Balaka to build another maternity wing so that women can come before their due date and stay so they don't have to travel while they're in labor. Right now, women are still having to sleep on mattresses on the floor and sometimes outside because there's just not room. So there's still a lot of challenges. But there's also been a lot of change. Next slide. So who's my neighbor? The one I walk the road with. So maybe what we need is a narrower road so we can't help but see each other, recognize our common humanity, see the impact of our actions and our inactions on each other. The God who connects all of us calls us to remember that our futures are bound up in each other's. There is no them and us. There's only us. We are one family, as vast as the ocean, as intimate as a face, a touch, a look, a feeling. So what if next time someone asks us where we're from, our first thought isn't Newport or Glasgow, South Carolina, or Scotland, but what emerges unbidden is I'm a citizen of the planet Earth, and I live in a big global neighborhood. What if we're all intentional about standing on that vista and raising our eyes, our voices, our outrage, and our action to create a more expansive view? In 40 countries around the world, Christian Aid works with partners and communities to bring practical, sustainable solutions. We work with communities around the world and other organizations to bring immediate humanitarian aid whenever it's necessary. And we work with groups across the world. You here, our friends in Malawi and Kenya and Bolivia and Brazil and Spain, and I could go on, to raise awareness of the structural injustices that keep people poor, and to challenge each other to make the changes necessary. I read a phrase that always sticks with me. I don't want your money. I want your change. Thank you for listening, and I am very happy later to answer any questions. But to close, an affirmation of who we are. Let us pray. Salty drop in a deep blue ocean, grain of sand on an endless white beach, leaf on a tree in a vast majestic forest, petal in a sea of poppies, blade of grass in a field green and growing, part of something bigger. Thanks be to God. Note in a song, voice in a choir, instrument in a symphony of sound, word on a page, chapter in a story, character in an evolving saga, face in a crowd, one in a million or a billion or seven or eight, part of something bigger. Thanks be to God. When we don't see the beauty in the bigger picture, when we won't work well as a cog in a wheel, when we can't come round to the reality that the universe does not revolve around us, God forgives. Being human depends on others to be human with. So embrace your interdependency. Part of something bigger. How beautiful. Thanks be to God. Amen.